Hi there, it's Susie McMahon, owner and operator of Luxurious Journeys in Luxe Lowcountry Travel. I'm a professional travel advisor, luxury travel experience guide, Reiki practitioner, and the coordinator of a pretty darn unique book club. Thank you for joining me today for my podcast. This is a travel feature regarding the future of travel as of April 15th of 2021. A lot of people want to know what is open, how do I travel, where can I go, all kinds of questions. So I brought on my guest and mentor, Angela Hughes. She's a luxury travel entrepreneur and runs an incredible travel agency called Trips and Ships Luxury Travel, and I am an independent affiliate of her organization. I hope you enjoy Wind Down Wednesday from April 15th, The Future of Travel Question and Answer with me and my guest, Angela Hughes. Thanks for listening. An error occurred, but now it says go live.
We are live.
I know we are live on my side, but it looks like StreamYard's saying there's a slight error. So I'm just going to go move forward. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wind Down Wednesday with Susie McMahon and my return guest, Angela Hughes of the incredible Luxury Travel University and Trips and Ships Luxury Travel. Welcome, Angela. How are you today?
Thanks. I'm super excited to be back on your show, and I'm glad that we decided to do this tonight.
Me too. I'm so excited, and I hope that my family remembers that I need it quiet for about 20 minutes. So what I'm so excited to talk to you about today is I heard you were on a virtual call with some European leaders in the travel industry, and we all are trying to get the feel for the future of travel, what's happening right now. And I just want to have you reintroduce yourself to those that may not have met you in the past. And then let's get talking about the excitement of what is opening in the world. Go ahead, Angela.
Yeah, so thanks, Susie, for having me back. So I'm Angela Hughes. I call myself the luxury travel entrepreneur. I've spent 35 years in the business, and I run the popular host agency, travel agency, Trips and Ships Luxury Travel. I also run the development program called Trips. What is it called? It's called the Luxury Travel University. And today I was actually speaking to a group in Greece at the Spiti World Meeting. And we had probably 50 to 60 people on that call from all over that region. And my topic was on US travel trends and what it meant during COVID, et cetera. And so, yeah, it's just kind of fun. I thought we could share that presentation tonight and talk about what's open, what's hot, what's not, trends, how we're feeling about things. I gathered some quick data last night from people, including yourself, to see how people were feeling and, you know, kind of threw that out there to them because they're looking for information. They're ready to open Greece. So,
yeah, I am so excited about Greece. That's our first country that U.S. passport holders that's a new open compared to what has been open, like the Caribbean and Mexico. But so I am so excited. That's May 14th, right?
Yeah, well, that's a projected date, and we hope so because we're booking a lot of Greece. I mean, there's a ton. Like you said, there's been other openings, and people are excited about the other openings. But I think Greece becomes a country of, like, you know, like the untouchable. You know what I'm saying? Like the untouchable country we haven't been able to go to, even though it was open last summer and then it pulled back. And so, it's one of those untouchable things that we've just been waiting for. And it's
a season. So excited. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pull up your presentation from today. I'm going to add it to the stream. You have the controls on your side, but just go for it for a little bit. And then if it's okay, I'll just like interrupt when I have a question, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I'm only talking to a computer screen now. I don't even see you or the audience. So.
You look lovely, and I see United States of America, future of travel.
Okay. So a couple of statistics I think would be really great to just talk about is what the U.S. Travel Association has said, that they think that we'll have significant growth in the second quarter of 2021 And I think you and I could both agree that that's happening right now because you're busy, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And we are seeing, we've seen a huge influx of travel pickup now for second and third quarter. It's starting, people. It's happening. It's like Christmas.
No, I put deposits down on, 2022 river cruises today. Yeah. So yes, travel inquiries are coming in. They are rolling in. And and the reality, as you know, and I know, is when you go, when I went to DIA for spring break travel, it was back to normal volumes, in my opinion.
Right.
Sure, it was still a little lower, but yeah. It just felt like it. I mean, we had, everybody was doing the right thing. It was great, right. But there was a lot of people in the airport. Yes.
Yeah. And we're moving in a lot of those airports. A couple of other numbers, air travel is still down, but it's up 40% from where it has been. Our airport's really busy in Orlando. Florida is really booming with travel right now, especially for spring break. And parks are packed. Disney, you have to make a reservation for the tickets. They're very full. You can't get into Hollywood for at least a month at that park. And so Florida is seeing an uptick in traffic, and we're seeing that in a lot of the southern states. So that's good news. Group business is still down. And I think that's going to be the case for a couple of years, where we're going to be traveling in small groups. We're going to be changing the way that we travel in groups and in terms of size and volume. Hotel bookings are up, but you're going to see a lot of changes in the hotel world in terms of Conrad Hilton. They just came out and said that they're not going to return back to their pre-service packages, such as everyday room service or some of their concierge service. And so the way that they're running things now could be the new trend. And we just need to adjust with that. They're not going to come back to a pre-pandemic service level. And that model is going to change dramatically in hotel bookings. Business travel, I don't know if we really need to talk about that on your show, but business travel is starting to move again. And we predict that that's going to be a 2 to 3 year movement, but starting mostly third quarter. Okay, take a look at the states, the blue states and the red states. Obviously, we know in travel's moving much quicker in the red states than it is in the blue states. But we are seeing some openings in the northern corridor with New York opening, which just opened April 1st without quarantine. The Northeast is opening. That means Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Rhode Island without quarantine. And California, we have news today that June 15th, we could see a lot more flexible conditions going on there for travel. And that means everything to open up those two major hotspots. Now, the reason why I tell you that is because without New York and without air traffic coming through New York, you're most likely not going to see a reciprocal relationship with Europe reopening, because we need JFK and some of those big hubs there to bring traffic through and to bring business through. And we've gone through a lot of different models of how that might look, London to New York City, et cetera. And so, yes, we need that open. And I'm not really sure what Nebraska is doing in yellow. I just pulled this map. So
I thought we went back to the election or something. I'm like, wait, hold on.
We just pulled that off, but nobody knew in Greece today because... don't mind the map, you guys.
Now, the one thing that I wanted to ask, just because I'm thinking of booking my flights to Greece for September, Virginia was open. So maybe Dulles has the international flights.
Yeah, interesting. Dulles does actually have a little more leverage than
Atlanta. Atlanta, yeah. Probably.
Okay. Atlanta. Now, the tricky thing with Atlanta right now is they're a Delta hub. And so the Delta KLM connection is usually through Amsterdam. And right now they're requiring a double test, a test 72 hours prior and then an antigen test 4 hours before. And so that can really raise havoc to get into Amsterdam to connect. And Amsterdam made it that tricky because they ran into higher COVID numbers when they were open before for transit. Right. And so I'm kind of shying away from like that Delta connection right now and using more airlines like Qatar and Emirates through Doha and through Dubai, which are so fun anyway, if you want to do an extension there or doing something. I mean, we do have some, I think I just saw that United was opening a nonstop to Greece. So
that would be fantastic, especially from Denver.
mark my words on that. I thought I saw something.
I'll meet you over there. I'm flying nonstop.
Yeah, you're flying nonstop. I'll see you there. So a lot of the goals right now is that, 60% of the people are confident that they'll return to some type of normal travel by summer. That hasn't impacted our agency or you or me. We've been traveling, since May. But it really, impacts like the normal person. I don't consider ourselves normal. We're really, first responders in travel. We're our own club. But normal people are saying in the next 6 months, they do see themselves traveling. And the rest is all business stuff. So we can move on from that. But when you're ready, let's talk about where you can travel to.
I love this slide. I love the flowers and the colors. It gives me chills. So yes, I know that that's Greece.
Yes. So we're hot on Greece. And let's talk about that in just a minute. Gosh, we just did this program, probably a similar program to this back in February. And you can probably relate that we were saying, we had a handful of things. So a handful of things that were opening. And now I feel really super encouraged because right now, Mexico, hot off the shelf, everybody. Everybody's flocking to Mexico because it's easy. It's easy. We have tons of great resorts there. Puerto Vallarta, Cabo, Cancun. So that's always a good standby if you just want to get your feet wet. Caribbean islands. We have probably a dozen Caribbean islands open, with the exception of Grand Cayman. That would be the biggest one in my mind, is Grand Cayman is not open and probably won't be open for a while. But the Caribbean islands all have different restrictions to get into in terms of COVID testing, but they are open and they are not crowded. Prices are right down there. I was just down in Antigua 2 weeks ago at a Sandals property, and it's wonderful because there's not so many people there. And so it's just such a good time to go.
Exactly. And I'm headed to Turks and Caicos in May with my son, James. They've made it pretty easy to get into the country, just having to do your typical PCR test within 5 days of entry, and then getting their country's health insurance prior to entry and taking that test for the return to the United States. So that's just going to be common practice. And I think that's pretty easy.
Yeah. And I think the great thing about your followers working with you is all of the ins and outs for each island. And so you're really able to guide and direct people exactly what they need to do. It's really hard to navigate the waters right now with all of the different restrictions. And it's not so much restrictions, but some islands require that you get a QR code like Costa Rica before you go, and a special insurance. Other places require testing, 10 days out versus 72 hours out. And maybe you need to test upon arrival. And so there's just lots of things to navigate right now, but it's very possible to travel, and fear should not even be a part of this. Okay, moving on to Europe for a minute. A lot of the countries are probably not going to be big names for US travelers: Albania, Armenia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Georgia, North Macedonia, and maybe Ukraine. But what is super hot on that list is Croatia and Iceland, and soon with the upcoming announcement of Greece. So I love that so much because Greece is our big hot topic right now. And Croatia was a huge emerging destination, not emerging, but in terms of growth in Europe, it was a very fast growing country prior to COVID. And you can obviously do the Croatian coast and then hook into the Ionian Islands in Greece. You can do a double header there. So much to see along that Dalmatian coast. And then Iceland came to be a couple of weeks ago. If you're fully vaccinated, that's another hot opening right now with cruise lines going there. Viking just opened up yesterday with a sailing, and it sold out in 1 day for Iceland only for July. And so those are hot. When you see them, you've got to grab them because we have a huge supply and demand issue right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, of course, Central and South America, Costa Rica on that list, Chile, probably Peru. Peru is a little difficult still right now because it's in its early stages of opening, but and it's closed a few times. So I'd say Costa Rica is the real safe bet on that, and also Galapagos on that list. So
yes.
Okay, moving on, Asia. On this list, brand new, is Nepal. Nobody really wants to go to Bangladesh in our world, but Maldives and Seychelles were early openers.
Yes.
And really popular with the sun lovers and the sun god worshipers. And then, of course, Africa. We've talked a lot about Africa, you and I. That's actually one of our advisors on top of our trips and ships, Jeep Safari in Tanzania back in January. And so we have tons of things going on there. I just returned from Uganda with the trek up to see the gorillas and the primates, and I've been to Africa multiple times this year. So a huge, huge opportunity there, and prices are right now. But space is definitely going to be an issue towards summer and into the migration season in the fall. So
absolutely. Yeah, the trips, I was just loving everything I was seeing you send back and wishing I had gone. So definitely that gorilla experience that you had was phenomenal.
And you know, I always joke that I don't even own a dog. Like, I'm not, I've been spending all this time with these animals, and even my kids are frankly a little surprised how like animal friendly I am right now, because I don't even own a pet. I do have a pet turtle, but that's it. So yeah. So this is a picture of Iceland. You can see how amazing it is. And that should just be, if you're feeling vaccinated and ready, that's a great early addition right now to the summer season. And Iceland was on a boom before. I mean, it was one of the most rapid growing countries for tourism prior to COVID. It was almost becoming overpopulated with tourism. And so now's a nice time to go, because you're not going to see the floods of people there. We just talked Serengeti, Tanzania, Kenya. Animals very relaxed there right now. On a given day in Serengeti, there's 1,500 people right now, a handful of jeeps, and quickly being discovered by the Europeans. They're coming down quickly. Tanzania is a huge market for Europe. And not so much America. Americans like Kenya better because of the Lion King and because of, out of Africa, some of the movies and so forth that have come out of there. But Tanzania and Kenya, I prefer Tanzania over Kenya, just personal preference. So huge opportunities there for people. Okay.
Here we go.
Try now or...
there it is, but not quite.
There it is. Eat your heart out. Cry over the picture. Probably Italy is looking at early fall, late summer opening. If you know, and it's so hard to say how that's going to pan out with the EU, of whether or not, you know, our numbers are so high. It's based on numbers. But there's one thing that rules in Europe, and that's the American dollar. So it's whether or not they can last another summer without us throwing out the dinero over there. And so we'll see. And that was really the issue with Greece, is they economically could not afford to stay shut another year. And so it's been devastating to their economy, as is Italy. So I'd say look for a fall. I feel like I'm on the Today Show, you know, like look for an early fall departure.
Look for a fall with a little sprinkling of a different opening. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, you want to cry when you look at these pictures. You're like, what it used to be.
I remember?
Yeah. Croatia, like we said, super, super hot and ready for summer sailing. We've Susie's got tons of opportunities on small sailing yachts. I'm sure we're going to see some cruising down that coast combined with Greece right away. They're taking people in there, which is the CDC, but the COVID test. And so you don't even need to be vaccinated to travel there. So that's definitely should be on your list. And Egypt, super hot. I keep saying super hot. I need to come up with a better word. But these are the hot destinations.
It's an active destination, active booking. Hot booking, yeah, for sure. You guys are headed over there again pretty quick, right? In May?
We're headed over there in May. I've been to Egypt multiple times, pre-COVID in 2019, post-revolution in 2011. And in 2019, when I returned, so I ended up going in 2011, right when the revolution was, like it was a 4-day or 5-day deal, cars burning everywhere, King Tut stuff stolen out of the museums. When I got there, cars were still smoking, glass was still broken at the museum. Nobody was out of their house there. It was my group and another group in a van that was at the pyramids. And it was a very kind of scary experience to be there in terms of just like, well, what is going on with this revolution and what does it mean? And my group went on to Israel. I couldn't even get a flight back to the US. It had been canceled, ended up flying to Rome. Went back in 2019 because nobody traveled to Egypt for several years after the revolution because of perception. Right. Went back in 2019 and it was the first hint of, hey, the Europeans are returning and the Americans are returning. And it was just bustling. And I was like, this is so hot for 2020. And it was so ready for yes. Until COVID. And it's back now. And we've got, I was saying this morning, we've got things like the Four Seasons for only a couple of $100 a night. So you can stay so amazing there and catch a Nile River cruise down to Luxor to the Valley of the Kings. And it's explosive in terms of things that you can do there and pricing. And to be like the one sole person in the pyramid, you know, at the pyramids, it's really almost like a spiritual experience to be the only.
It would definitely be a magical experience.
And yeah, magical is probably a better word. I was almost like, this doesn't happen where you're at a world site and it's so empty.
Absolutely.
It's you and 20 million of your closest friends. And we were way overpopulated prior to this. Okay, Greece.
Here we go.
What do we want to say about Greece, Susie?
It's all about love and romance and luxury and food and wine. And I just can't wait to go. I've actually sent over several quotes to individuals that I've have requested Greece. And one of the concerns that the clients have, and it makes sense, is that pricing seems high. Well, yes, number one, it's going to be summer season, which is the highest season for Greece. And it's going to be the sought after country. Right. So if you want to go, you have to book early, is my recommendation. Yeah. And just know that pre-COVID pricing is probably not a realistic concept right now, but what a wonderful, incredible place to go. The Mediterranean is just fabulous. And I cannot wait for September when I plan to go over to Greece myself.
Loving our lives together. One thing I want to say about pre-COVID pricing, I mean, we're in this mental mind state right now that everything's supposed to be super cheap.
Right.
You know, super inexpensive because of COVID. That's not necessarily the case. I think that you're going to see a period, you know, yes, there has been entry level pricing into a lot of things, but Greece's tourism Greece's economy is 100% dependent on tourism, and they've lost a tremendous amount of money the last year. And, you know, it's really hard to go into a hoteler and say, hey, can you reduce your prices 200 because of COVID, when they're saying, no, I need to sell at regular rates to right. even stay open at this point. And so we kind of live in this expectation now that COVID means we should be getting things for next to nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's just simply not the case. I had the same thing happen with Hawaii this week. People were like, oh, the prices are so high. And I'm like, yeah, they're not discounting. Right. You want a 2-bedroom with a kitchen. You know, they're not going to come down on that for a condo. I mean, these properties have been shut. They're going to sell at full price, and they can, because they're going to be 100% full. Right.
And that's what I've experienced as well when I traveled over spring break and stayed in a Belmont hotel in Charleston. It was full normal prices. The luxury accommodations are not going to lower to bring down to meet. There's definitely, but it's not an increase that's so abnormal that's not fair. It's just what you're paying for the service level when you stay in a luxury property.
Well, it's not like they've upped their prices. I mean, they're just not discounting. And that's where the confusion comes in, is people are thinking, well, the airlines are discounting. Well, yeah, they're trying to fill seats right now. Right. Because if they're not selling at full price, they're going to put in as many seats, you know, at a price point that they can. But trust me, the airlines are going to go up too. You're not going to see... Mm-hmm. You're not going to see air prices remain low forever. They've got to make up for the damage that's happened. And a lot of people are saying that pendulum is going to swing the other direction. So if you feel like it was bad this year, it's going to be worse in 22 and 23 and 24. We're working on a huge supply and demand issue. And here's an excellent example in the Maldives. We have a lot of supply there right now. So prices are half price for overwater bungalows in the Maldives. And they were an early opener back last summer. So one of the first openers post-COVID. So yeah, the Maldives, great price. Greece, normal price. Hawaii, high price.
Right.
High price. So go to the Maldives because that's where the bargain is right now. And it's
exactly, you know,
they're gonna thank us later. So yeah, supply and demand's a tricky issue right now because we've got so much credit crossing. And yeah, like I said yesterday, with like Viking, people are just moving their credit. Something opens, they move it, and you cannot get the supply. And that's gonna impact cruising, it's gonna impact hotels. So if you want to do something, get an early jump on it. And you're going to be the winner. If you sit around and think about it for a long time and toss and turn and stay up all night, it's probably not going to be there for you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Tahiti's probably the last one I want to talk about.
Yes.
Going to have a reopening. And you and I have been talking a lot of Tahiti the last couple of weeks. We've got in-house specialists for Tahiti who do ground packages that can beat out the Costco pricing, which I love. And make really unique, authentic, curated experiences there for people that just can't be beat. And, you know, Tahiti was open, the French islands, St. Bart, St. Martin, all of those islands were open until the French shut them down for their numbers in France. And we're looking for an early opening in May again for Tahiti. And I'm probably gonna head over there ASAP because that's just another place. I don't know, I'm just going to all the places that are open because
that's what you do when you travel after a pandemic. Isn't that the right thing to do?
Yeah. Here's something that, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so a lot of people are waiting for there to be a blanket answer for entry, and there's not going to be one. But what did you want to talk about regarding the United States?
Well, I want to talk about that. And that's a really good point that you bring up. Like, there's not going to be a grand opening to the world.
Right.
And we've talked about that. It's, and I use that racetrack flag idea, like, go, it's open. And it will be similar to that when the EU, because the EU will probably open up in a block. But there's not going to be a grand opening for every part of the world. It's places are opening and they're going to open it on their own terms and on their own conditions. And here's the thing that's driving people crazy is that people think if they're vaccinated, then they don't have to COVID test. And that's not the case. I'm vaccinated as of today, everybody. One shot Johnson & Johnson, but that would only be the case if I was traveling to Greece or Iceland. Mm-hmm. But I'm still gonna have to test to go into other countries. That's just their rules, you know?
And won't you still, we still have to test upon return to the United States until CDC changes that.
Mm-hmm. Right. You still have to test coming back in, and people hate that. Right. You know, you still have to take the mandatory test. That's where you yell at the CDC and, you know, say, we're done with this. Because it seems kind of ridiculous to me to have to do a test and pay for that or have that arranged. You know, that's something why you really need a travel advisor, is because you need to make sure that's arranged for you to come back into the U.S. And but guess what, Susie? All of these things are very fluid. What I'm saying today could be changed next week.
It could be changed tomorrow morning, actually, wow, how fast it will. Yeah. So you had a question earlier, and go ahead and answer this one. I remember talking about this as well. We don't know the answers to whether somebody's job is going to make them quarantine.
Yeah, so
that's up to their own HR department.
Yeah, so the U.S. is dropping a lot of quarantines, New York, the Northeast. I'm not sure Florida ever quarantined anybody, even though they said that, but I've freely been moving. the bigger question is, will my job make me quarantine? And some jobs are still making people quarantine if they leave the country, which is odd, because again, if they're vaccinated now, you know, rules have changed from 6 months ago, from 2 months ago with the vaccine. You know, things that we were talking about 3 months ago, we didn't have the vaccine in sight at that point. So, and will I need to return it to my destination because highlights might be closed? Again, that's going to all be destination specific. Exactly. Depending on what, you know, California opening June 15th, but restaurants are going to be at 50 people per capacity. Yeah. So you may feel like you need to go back. Again, a good travel advisor helps with that.
Exactly. Well, I was going to check to see if I see Terry was joining us on one of my pages, and she has been asking me questions before about travel. Actually, this is Terry Hyman. Oh, she's in Alabama. So hi, Terry. If anybody that's watching has a question for me or for Angela, please feel free to go ahead and post in the comments. Let me know where you're watching from. We're going a little longer than normal because this material is so, here goes the word, hot off the presses. It's really what is open, and everyone's asking, everyone's wanting to know what it's going to be like. And my job is to definitely advise people and also to set expectations for folks, because if you're planning something a year from now, we can only say what is happening right now, but what potentially could happen, to make sure people understand. There may be countries that you cannot go to unless you are immunized and unless you have proof. And the other thing that we talked about is there's been talk on a lot of audio social media apps about, should you laminate your vaccination card or should you not? And I have heard like half the physicians that were talking said yes, the other half said no. The reality is that card has to be looked at by an airline or immigrations or something. So my recommendation, Angela, tell me if you agree, would be to not laminate it, but keep it in a plastic sleeve.
Yeah, plastic sleeve. I mean, I just had the yellow fever vaccination when I went to Africa, and they just gave me a sleeve, and I just tucked mine right in there with it. Mm-hmm. And therefore it can be taken out, but it's not, you know, getting all glummy, you know, with your hands and so forth.
Yeah. And to think of it and maybe take a picture of it before you travel, just like you do your passport, and make sure maybe if you got it outside of your own primary care physician, make sure your doctor's office has a copy of it too.
Oh, that's good.
Those are just hints. Mm-hmm. So what did Frank say here?
So Frank was asking, so I sent out, and again, this was for the lecture that I gave this morning to the Greeks, but they wanted to know what the concerns were. Well, is there going to be a standardized vaccine passport? The talk is yes. And that will probably be for the European Union. Will that be for all countries? Absolutely not. You know, a lot of countries don't even have access to the vaccine now. And so it could be years before something standardized becomes the case. But most likely for first world countries, for the EU, I can see that happening by summer. So if you want to travel to Europe and that's on your suggested list, then that's probably going to be the case. Frank feels like testing should be optional then at that point, and which I feel like the testing will probably drop off with herd immunity and more people vaccinated. Another person said to be one or the other. So that's a big question. Vaccine instead of requiring both the testing.
Okay.
Cindy wants to know, hey, do I have to wear a mask? I think the mask is here to stay. We're seeing states drop masks. You know, Utah was supposed to drop their mask mandate today and they decided to keep it. Texas had 40,000 people at the Texas Rangers game the other night and most weren't wearing masks. You know, if you're Texan, you're not wearing one. The county next to me, you're not wearing a mask. My county, Orange County in Orlando, you're wearing a mask. So I can go literally 20 minutes away and that county's, you know, the wild, wild west over there. So here's a big concern that people have, you know, are there nonstop flights available and are they affordable? And that's a huge issue that we're running into is people want to book their air to Europe, but we have relatively few flights right now. And those aren't probably going to start up until we have that reciprocal agreement with Europe. So we have some flights you can get over there. You don't have your full selection though that you've had in the past, and that's going to increase and grow with demand, of course.
Absolutely.
And then you, Susie, and oh my gosh, did I spell your name
right? My name is McMahon, no D on the line.
I slaughtered it the other day, and I'm so sorry. It's like the simplest name, and I don't know.
It's not simple. It's Irish and Scottish, and it's confusing.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that, you know, and I apologize. I've known
no worries. I wanted to give you a question about it because so many of my clients ask, and you just answered it. I mean, state to state, county to county, this can be different in the United States. So it will be interesting to see how to verify what the restaurants and hotels are doing. And there's so many new seals of approval for hotels and resorts, et cetera, that are following certain protocols. So we'll just have to investigate that case by case.
Well, we always think it's going to be the negative, but actually I've been to Mexico multiple times since we could travel there. And when I say we could travel there, I took one of the first flights out of here early. So I don't know if technically they were never closed. It's just whether or not people felt like they could cross the border. In fact, some right. of our clients at our agency were the first clients to arrive in Mexico, only people at the hotel. Protocols were loose back then. The hotel was doing protocols, but mm-hmm. you didn't have to wear a mask and everything. They hadn't, back in the summer, we still didn't know, when I went to Utah back, Memorial Day and down to California, I flew without a mask. There was a time where the mask thing was, do we wear a mask? Do we not wear a mask? And so it's interesting. Just went to Mexico a couple of weeks ago, way strict on the masks. And my brother is down in Puerto Vallarta right now. His kids got stopped for not wearing a mask. So super surprising about that.
And where were they when that happened?
Puerto Vallarta, just walked.
Puerto Vallarta, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow, Angela, I'm so excited. I'm just excited about the opportunity for people to experience authentic travel, slow travel, really immersing themselves in destinations. And I think people are more thankful, are going to be more appreciative of the fact that they can travel. And I would love to help anybody plan their luxurious journey. That's why we're here. We're professionals, and that's what we do. Do you have any closing remarks today? I think what we shared was wonderful, and I can't wait to see the numbers of viewers that catch on to it and get all that wonderful, hot new information that you just shared today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, and I do have a closing statement.
Yes.
Because she's dynamite. If you want to trust in somebody who can help you, make all of your dreams come true, Susie's your girl.
Thank you.
I think she's doing a fantastic job. And this is going to be an arena where you're going to need somebody to help you navigate that. And she's a pro at that. So reach out to her. And thanks for having me on again.
You are so welcome. And I just wanted to share with everybody watching. Feel free to hop on my current website, which is luxelowcountrytravel.com. And you can see all the current getaways that I have planned for 2021 and into 2022. Also, in the pipeline is a brand new website for luxurious journeys. And once that's out, I will share that with you. I want to thank everybody for watching. I want to thank Angela for mentoring me and sharing all this wonderful information tonight. And you guys, it's a wonderful Wednesday in Colorado. It's hot again. It may snow tomorrow. So enjoy your evening. And I'll just be signing off now. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Angela.